speaking engagements can be stressful for publishing professionals, but at the annual gathering of the book clan known as Book Expo America, the stress is nothing like what some senior executives will feel next week in a nearby Manhattan courtroom. Hello and welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series, Beyond the Book. My name is Chris Keneally, and as you can probably hear from the ambient sound in the background, we are live at the Javits Center. Live at the Javits Center for the annual Book Expo America program. And with us is Andrew Albanese, senior writer at Publishers Weekly. And it's good to see you as well as hear you.
Good to see you as well, Chris.
Well, so we are here at BEA, and what have you seen so far, and what can we find out about it in Publishers Weekly?
Well, that's right. You know, Monday's issue coming up, as you might expect, we're going to be wrapping up all of our coverage at this year's show. And this is probably a good time for me to remind our readers that they can access our show dailies from the show online at the PW website for free. So my impressions of the first day, you know, generally, it's always nice. You know, I'm not going to lie. It's stressful for a lot of us, the run-up to BEA. But once you get here, it's always amazing to be with your friends and colleagues in the industry. And there's just a general excitement around books. And with the panels and professional programs, you're always learning something, and that's nice, too. So, what are we going to be writing about on Monday? Well, as always, lots and lots of new books here, the galleys that everyone was grabbing, and probably some provocative lines from someone uttered somewhere. But, you know, also about the changes. This year's show brought with it a few tweaks, which we've discussed in the past. So we're probably going to be looking quite a bit at how those changes, everything from the days of the show to the increased public access, see how that went for attendees. But so far, so good, I'd say.
Well, and certainly by the sound of things, people are enjoying themselves, although it's the end of the day and there's a few cocktails being served here at the Javits Center.
I did see a bar walking to the studio
here. That may have something to do with it. And you mentioned provocative lines, and we've already had a few of those. Just yesterday, Wednesday, as we record this, the opening session featured Macmillan CEO John Sargent. That was probably an easier speaking gig than the one he's going to have when he has to go on the witness stand in the Apple case. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it was a session, I think, that was designed to be provocative. Macmillan CEO John Sargent and outgoing American Booksellers Association President Becky Anderson, the co-owner of Anderson's Bookshop in Naperville, Illinois, were set to talk about the whole damn publishing business, as it was titled. And as you alluded to, Mr. Sargent is set to testify sometime next week in the Apple price-fixing trial. So his next gig is going to be on a witness stand. It was a good talk between Sargent and Anderson, and readers can, you know, read a little bit about it on an article on our PW website. You know, Sargent was, as he usually is, pretty candid. And you can tell he's pretty eager to have this DOJ business behind him and behind the industry. At one point, you know, we need to talk, is what he stressed in his talk. You know, that we as an industry have to overcome the victim effect where everybody in the industry is afraid of the Department of Justice or other legal things. And that's one of the reasons why Sargent said he decided to do the interview session with Anderson. Now, there are some things that Sargent couldn't talk about. For example, you know, what's going to happen once the DOJ sanctions expire for Macmillan in 2014. But he did share some thoughts on the Department of Justice ahead of his expected testimony next week. And he called the DOJ org action extraordinarily myopic. He accused the DOJ of carrying the water for Amazon when it had 92% of the ebook market. And he called the senior guys at the DOJ, including Attorney General Eric Holder, just incompetent, for which he received a resounding applause. And despite some goading, he didn't say anything negative about Amazon, which leads to me to believe that, you know, Amazon is indeed more powerful than the government.
Indeed, or at least they're more frightening if you're John Sargent. But, you know, I think one of the points you just made is just how important it is to see an executive like Sargent in the flesh say these kinds of things. We live in a world of virtual information and virtual communication, and the virtue, if I can put it that way, of Book Expo is everybody really is here in the flesh. And I caught the tail end of that discussion, and I was impressed with his candor and with his courage, if I could put it that way.
John is nothing if not candid and courageous, and everyone who knows him to be a man of great principle. You may disagree with John in some of the things that he says, some of the things that he does with his business, but you really can't doubt his motives.
Well, you have to wonder how the DOJ lawyers are going to look at all of this. They've just been called incompetent, and there's been some statements as well from Apple that tell us a lot about what to expect once court gets going on Monday. What have you been reading there?
Well, the good thing for John and for McMillan is that they have a settlement, so there really isn't much more bad that can happen to him here. Can he get a bit of a rough ride on the stand? Yes, and I suppose in theory that's true, but I really don't expect that to be the case. The fact is, Sargent cooperated fully with the DOJ investigation. And, that had to be a little scary for him, being in the DOJ crosshairs. As I just said, John, you might disagree with him. That's fine. But he always calls you like he sees it. And no one really wants to be personally targeted by Justice Department officials. And frankly, anytime you give a deposition to the DOJ, so I'm told, that there's that meatball hanging out there. If you don't cooperate or don't tell the truth, they're going to nail you. They're going to threaten you with jail or some other terrible sanction. So, on top of running a company, it had to be stressful for John to be under the threat of a DOJ action. So I think the DOJ understands why it may not be popular with John Sargent for a number of reasons. And I also think that they probably have what they need from him anyway, and what they will require of him on the stand when he's called, if he's called, is to be, nicely disposed towards DOJ attorneys, because they're now focused on making their case against Apple. Now, as you mentioned, Apple also has been in the news this week, and they are going to fight hard. As I said last week, the last thing they want is for DOJ officials to be able to just walk in and set up shop in Cupertino and start meddling in their digital business. And Tim Cook in media reports basically said that. Settling is not an option for Apple. They're going to be fighting. As for what I expect on Monday when the trial gets going, you never know. I've been to many trials and more trials than I would want in this little digital age of publishing as it gets going. And sometimes they get things going right away with opening statements. And sometimes a motion will stop things dead. But what we know as of now is that Cote has given each side 29 hours of time to argue and set closing arguments for June 20th. So we're basically looking at a pretty tight three-week trial schedule, as tight as one could be for an action this sprawling. But of course, anyone who's ever served on jury duty knows to put absolutely no stock in whatever schedule a judge tells you at the beginning of a trial.
That's right. And what we can all look forward to from you, Andrew, is reporting from that courtroom and a real insider's view, a view with the curtain drawn as to how business is done. It's going to be fascinating.
Well, I will be there on Monday. And obviously for Judge Cote, it's going to be all about guilty or not guilty once this trial begins. But for the publishing industry, the five publishers, I think, for the most part, are Teflon. They acted heroically for the sake of the business. That's the perception out there. What I want to know is what happened. And on Monday, that's what I'm going to be focused on. And readers can check out on the PW website for more on that. And thanks to an investigation with subpoena power, I can say, we're really finally going to hear what exactly happened.
Right. Andrew Albany, Senior Writer for Publishers Weekly. Great to see you. Thanks for joining us today on our weekly look at the business of books at Book Expo America.
Thank you, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and e-books, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as now images, movies, and television shows. Follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at beyondthebook.com. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing, and it's nice to see Jeremy as well. He's with us today. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book. Mm-hmm.